Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to Not Another Mummy Podcast with me, Alison Perry. Today's guests are Kelly Allen and her transgender wife, Zoe Allen, two mums raising their two kids in Cardiff. 18 months ago, Zoe came out to Kelly, telling her that she's a woman and not the man that Kelly thought she was. Despite Zoe's fears that it would spell the end of their marriage, Kelly reacted with love and support. I wanted to chat to them about what day-to-day life as a transgender family is like. They describe it as normal-ish, but also find out from Zoe what it was like to come out to Kelly. Likewise, Kelly talks about that moment from her point of view and how they told their children and wider family. Zoe and Kelly write the blog Our Transitional Life, which aims to share their experiences as a transgender family, show that coming out can be filled with hope and light rather than doom and gloom, and challenge the misconceptions that some people hold. It was a real privilege to chat to this couple and have them share their journey. You can just tell from listening to them speak how strong their relationship is and what amazing mums they are to their kids. I am so happy to be joined by Kelly and Zoe. Welcome to you both. How are you doing?
Hey.
Thanks for having us. We're okay.
You're doing okay?
Yeah. It's a weird time, isn't it?
It is such a weird time. And, you know, I ask all my guests, how are you? And I'll be honest, quite often it's just like a, how are you doing? Like kind of pleasantry. But at the moment, it really is kind of like, how are you doing?
Yeah. Are you okay?
What's lockdown been like for you?
I would just say like high and low. Like I think it's been a lot of ups and downs,
it's
I reckon.
It's been very long.
Yeah.
Oh, hasn't it? So I think we're about maybe 12 or 13 weeks into it at the moment, and it feels like about a year, doesn't it?
Yeah, we were in self-isolation for about 3 to 4 weeks before that as well anyway, because we all got really ill just before lockdown kicked in. So.
Oh no, so it's been really long for you.
I think we've hardly seen any of 2020.
So. I came across a print I'd ordered from a friend of mine who is an artist, and it'd been delivered I think in December, and I only just got around to opening it the other day, and she'd written this note saying here's to 2020 being a great year, I've got a great feeling about this.
Oh,
and I was like, I saw it the other day and I was like, oh my goodness, no. You could not have been more wrong.
Maybe she could go into reverse predictions.
Maybe. So tell me about your family life and what it's like to be a transgender family. I'm guessing that it's mostly just normal family life, am I right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we always try and say that we're normal-ish. we kind of, you know...
Because what is normal?
Yeah, we're two adults with two kids, a dog and a little terrace house, just trying to get through life, just like everyone else, really. We've got added issues that we face day to day, but I think, yeah, we're kind of normal-ish.
Normal-ish. I mean, who isn't normal-ish? Let's face it.
Exactly.
And Zoe, how long had you known that you're a woman before you came out as transgender to Kelly?
I'd had feelings for a long, 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 long time. Probably mixed feelings from around 8, 9, I imagine. But never truly understanding it until I'd say my mid to late 20s. I wasn't brought up in very diverse circles. So the concept of it and the thoughts that I was having, I was in denial, I guess, because I was like, I didn't think that it was a real thing. I thought, oh, I'm a bit messed up. Maybe I just need to forget about this and move on and have a normal life and a normal family. And well, kind of did-ish for a bit. And yeah, went to university a few years back.
So you went as a mature student, is that right?
Yes, yeah. So for years I'd wanted to do stuff with music and had a bit of a, I want to say an early midlife crisis, I guess.
Thanks for telling me that now.
And I was like,
she's never admitted to that before.
And I came home from work one day and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like working in an office all the time, 5 days a week. I really need to do this. And we had a bit of a up and down chat about it. And
we were, I think, okay. I just cried. How much is that going to cost?
It got to the point where we were like, okay, if we're going to do it, let's just do it. You know, it's good to show the kids that it doesn't matter how old you are or who you are or what you are, what you want to do. If you want to achieve something, just go and try and do it.
And was it while you were at university that you started really thinking this through?
Yeah, so having that extra time to myself, just wandering into uni and sitting in between lectures and stuff, it gave me more time to think and to think on how I was feeling and research things a lot more.
Do you think some of it as well was, because, you know, when you go to university, a lot of people are mixing with completely different types of people. And I mean, that's one of the great things about going to uni, isn't it? That it almost like forces you out of your little bubble that you live in. Do you think that had any kind of impact on you?
I mean, possibly. I mean, I wasn't going out of my way to have a diverse circle of friends as such, but
or any friends,
very true.
were you quite a loner at uni?
I've always been a bit of a loner. I've always had what's my famous saying, I don't always like people. I've worked in retail for over 10 years, so
say no more. Yeah, customers suck.
Yeah, they do. But I think since coming out you've been more sociable than ever before.
Yeah.
So it did change.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So it sounds like perhaps there was some kind of release or kind of almost like freeing feeling.
Oh, definitely. I think there's been so many things that I've embraced now I've come out that I would have hidden away before. Like even getting upset over something in the past, I would have gotten angry over it rather than getting upset and talking and dealing with the emotion, rather than now I can just have a cuddle, have a cry, have a bath, paint the nails, you know. Bond.
And I read a blog post from you saying that you had tried many times to talk to Kelly but found it too hard. In terms of coming out to her, what do you think you were scared of?
Losing her, losing the kids. I'd like, because I had been doing so much research, it was all of the stories that I was finding were very negative, where they'd lost their partners, they'd lost their kids because they didn't understand, feeling isolated, being attacked, being bullied, losing their jobs. And I was terrified that I would lose everyone, and then I wouldn't cope. You know, there's such a high suicide rate in trans people who come out because they don't get the support and they're not loved, and they're not given the opportunity to be who they are. I feared that, really.
So what was your kind of thought process? Obviously you told Kelly, so there must have been this kind of overriding feeling of she's going to understand, it's going to be okay. Or was it just a case of we just need to almost like rip the plaster off and find out one way or the other?
It was neither. Oh. it was New Year's Eve, and I think I'd been doing so much out of the ordinary stuff, like feminizing things and wanting to dress up for different events.
I saw you saying this, that Halloween, yeah, you dressed up as in female clothes, and also at your 10-year wedding anniversary, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. We were both going to go as like 80s roller disco chicks.
Except that I can't skate. So.
We went to skating lessons for a couple of months.
Oh my
god. It was difficult to say the least.
That's such a brilliant idea though.
Yeah, the concept was brilliant. Yeah. I agree. But I just kept falling over.
It got to the evening and we were like, if we're going to have a few drinks as well, it's probably not best.
And we're going to break a leg.
I just went for it because I didn't care. I didn't care. I was like, if I'm going to fall over, I'm going to fall over. But Kelly didn't want to get hurt, and
I can't skate.
You reevaluated your costume and you went as the receptionist from Beetlejuice, and that was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think when it came to New Year, I think Kelly had seen all these different things, and we were in the kitchen having a couple of glasses of Prosecco, prepping some buffet food for the evening because we were staying in with Kelly's mum and the kids. And then Kelly said, sit down, basically. And
so
Kelly initiated it. Yeah, she came
Kelly,
out
Kelly, tell me what was going through your head at that point.
Do you know, it's a bit of a blur. So many things had happened, and I think a few months before that, I'd gone through it was a very short-lived moment of thinking, is she having an affair? Because of some of the things that were going on. But she's not a very good liar, so when I asked her that, she told me the truth, I could tell. And she's not a deceitful person, so, you know, that kind of, that whole affair thing was probably more to do with my insecurities.
Yeah.
So moved on from that, and then other things happened. It was just a very strange time, and she wasn't looking after herself either. She
I wasn't eating.
Yeah.
I lost a lot of weight.
And I thought you were going to die, really. I thought she was going to die. Because I really focused in on the food element and the fact that she wasn't looking after herself, not seeing that there was a bigger picture.
So did you think that it was perhaps an eating disorder or something like that?
Yeah, genuinely I did. And I remember like messaging her family about it and just, but you know, there's nothing I could have done in a way. Cause like I talked to you about it, but, I can't force her to eat, you know? Yeah. So that's quite difficult. And then I don't know what made me, I think on New Year's Eve it was an instant thing. You decided to get, well, Zoe's just decided to get changed, wanted to get dressed up for New Year's Eve. I wasn't keen. I wanted to sit in pyjamas. And I was like, okay, I'll do it then. And went upstairs and I kind of expected you to put on like a shirt or I don't know what I expected. And then she came out in like a really sweet sparkly skirt and top, and I was just a bit like, what's happening here? And I think the penny just dropped at that moment, and it took me a long time. I'm quite frustrated about how long it took for that to happen, but oh, there's the doorbell.
We knew that would happen.
Yeah. And so I don't like the language that I used when I did ask her that evening. I look back, it was a very naive kind of, I would say ignorant language, because I said, do you want to be a woman? And I think it's that be, isn't it? And that whole concept of you are, you know, I know now she just is a woman. Yeah.
But then, you know, to be fair to you, this isn't... I'm guessing this wasn't an issue that you had read up on loads, you hadn't researched it, you know, you...
Yeah, I had an awareness, I supported trans rights and non-binary folk and all that stuff, but maybe I didn't know enough, and that was upsetting as well, to know that I didn't know enough, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
I asked that question, and Zoe said, you just nodded,
you? Yeah.
And then my mum knocked the door, and that was it. For that evening.
Oh, right. Just... So that was the end of the conversation.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Wow.
We snuck off a couple of times to go to the bathroom and have little short bursts of chat, but I think your mum just thought we were secretly hiding something about her from her.
Yeah. There was a lot of tense moments. There were a lot of tense moments during the first week or two of you coming out to me. Because my mom just had no idea, and we saw her quite regularly before COVID, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
How often did she visit? Like twice a week at least?
Probably, yeah.
So she was just very suspicious that we were acting strange.
And what was going through each of your minds at that point? I'm guessing, Zoe, for you it was relief. But Kelly, because it's a huge thing to be getting your head around, isn't it?
Yeah, I was shocked. I don't know why I was shocked, because I've always said, before Zoe came out, obviously, I always used to say I was married to a woman inside a man's body. Like, that was...
Did you?
Everyone knew that. I would say that. So I was shocked that I was shocked, if that makes sense. I can't describe the feeling. Maybe disappointed with myself for being shocked. And I don't know. It was a very... I don't know how to describe those early days. It was just...
But then kind of making a throwaway comment about being married to a man inside a... No, a woman inside a man's body is very different to being faced with the reality of...
True.
Actually, my husband has just told me that she's a woman.
Yes.
And this is now going to change our lives forever.
Yes. I think, you know, we spent a lot of time crying, talking. Mm. We stayed up late for weeks talking.
Weeks, yeah.
And listening to each other and crying. And the thing that got me through the hard days when I didn't understand everything, because back then I think I was a different person back then. Even a year and a half ago, I just feel like a completely different person. But Zoe always said to me, like, your feelings are valid. And she didn't ever make me feel bad if I felt sad or... And I never felt... The only thing I ever felt angry about was that I didn't notice sooner. But she just reassured me and said, everything you feel is valid. And I think that kind of was enough for me. Like, I could get through anything. Well, we always get through anything anyway together. We've just got that, I don't know. That we've been through a lot.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've got such a strong relationship.
I like to think so.
I'm very lucky.
No, I am.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So Zoe, what about you in terms of that first week and having those conversations with Kelly? What were you feeling at that point?
I was still very nervous and very scared, because at any point in those early days, she could have said, no, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And she could have just said, you need to leave, or she was going to leave. And again, you know, I wouldn't see her or the kids ever again. And I was also scared. Obviously, at that point, I'd already known about how I felt and looked into the transition itself and the journey that I would have to take. So I was scared, one, about how we would go about it as a family, as a couple, how long it would take, because I know the journey is long anyway, like with the waiting lists and stuff. But also, I didn't want to rush, because I didn't want to put that extra pressure on us as a couple and a family. But at the same time, because I'd been waiting for so long and I had these feelings for so long, I was keen, because it was all out, to get on with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a lot of mixed feelings early days, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember at first being like, we won't talk to anyone. We won't mention it on the blog. We won't do this. We won't do that. And within a month, we were like, this is us. Have it. Take it or leave it. It just wasn't ever going to go that way.
Yeah. And by 6 months later, we'd just gone on social media and the blog. And, yeah.
So your blog now, so Kelly, did you have a parenting blog prior to this?
Yeah, I kind of had just like a general lifestyle-y, one of those that I just didn't really know what it was kind of blog. And I've still got that, yeah, like, in the background. I don't really do much with it. But we decided to kind of start fresh with our transitional life and really focus on putting out a positive story, because when Zoe came out, everything I read was horrendously negative and marriage breakdowns.
You found one story that was positive that kind of lifted you.
Yeah, I found a really beautiful story and I read it every day for those first few weeks. Every day I'd read it over and over and over again and just be like, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. So you've basically, you know, in the last year and a half, you've been sharing your story, haven't you, on your blog, and but also offering up helpful, I guess, bits of advice and sharing things that might help people who are going through something similar.
Yeah, I think, like Kelly said, we've tried to put a positive story out there, and we wanted to offer support to people on a very light basis. Obviously, we're not medical experts or anything, but if anyone comes to us, any people who want to come out or who have just come out or partners of those who are going through stuff.
Yeah, it's trying to find the balance between being positive and hopeful, but also honest.
Yeah.
That's important, isn't it? And that is a really tricky balance to get sometimes.
I still think we're working on that.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a process, isn't it? So Zoe, once you had come out to Kelly, how long was it before you told the kids, told your family and friends? How did all of that go? Because that feels like just, you know, coming out to Kelly is, I guess, just the start, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, probably within a week, a few days, really, we'd started loosely
told my mom
speaking
first,
to the kids.
Oh, the kids, yeah.
Loosely
yeah.
mentioning things, and Kelly was like, how would you feel if Daddy was...
That was the language we would have used then.
Daddy
yeah.
was dressing more like mummy and all of these kind of things.
And they just like, they whatever. Like,
yeah, whatever. as long as she's happy. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they literally, they just didn't, it wasn't an issue, was it? They just supported you. They just wanted you to be happy.
We've never forced anything upon them, even with what they wanted to call me. So I know a lot of trans parents who were dads and our mums, who still use the name Daddy or Dad because that suits their kids and they don't want to mess with that, which is cool, and I appreciate that. But the kids quite early on started figuring out what they wanted to call me, and not long after us sorting a name, they were like, oh, it's Mama Zo and Mama Kel.
Yeah, it's cute.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So they sorted that out quite early on. And then within a few days later, we went to your mom's house and she was worried that the big news was going to be us splitting up.
Right.
So yeah, she was relieved.
She was relieved.
What we told her. She was relieved. Oh, you're still together. Phew.
Yeah. and then it wasn't much long after
yeah,
that.
Your family.
Within a week after that, I spoke to my brother and my mum. And I think I might have messaged my dad about it. My dad lives in New Zealand, so we don't really have much of a relationship.
And did you get any negativity, or was it all supportive, kind of positive reactions?
It was positive from my brother at first. He doesn't speak to me now. He's disassociated himself with me right now. My mum has been very honest throughout it all. She still struggles, like, calling me the wrong name or using the wrong pronouns occasionally, but we don't see each other that often, so I'm kind of excusing it and giving her that time, but she's making as much effort as I can expect from her at the moment.
And I guess it's hard. I mean, I feel like I'm now making excuses, but people, you know, from an older generation, I think it is harder for them to process this stuff because, you know, they, for the majority of their lives, haven't had the opportunity to learn about it and to know about it.
No, exactly. And like I said, I wasn't brought up in these diverse circles, so if they didn't bring me up that way, then they clearly don't have much of an understanding of it. So,
but she did recently comment, a really lovely comment on Facebook, saying that you're the happiest she's ever seen you.
Yeah, that was nice.
And that was a bold statement from her, I think.
But my dad didn't take it very well, and we're not speaking. So
a mixed reaction then, which, you know, I guess is to be expected, because it is such, it's such big news to be sharing with people, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, my workplace have been amazing. They've been brilliant from day one. Even one of my colleagues, my first day coming in after coming out, she got me a little gift, which is really nice. And, you know, we've lost a couple of friends along the way, but we've gained more as well. So,
and online, I would say, is our biggest network of support.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel part of the LGBT community?
I do now. I think early days I struggled because I didn't understand it myself, and it was all new for me. But Kelly's always been a massive supporter of the LGBT community, so it wasn't too difficult to intertwine ourselves, head into the local gay pub for karaoke and stuff.
And Zoe, you mentioned, you know, you thinking about transitioning. Is that a process that you've been finding straightforward, or has there been any kind of stressful or emotional moments within that?
Yes. Lots of stressful and emotional moments. I remember early, like, the waiting list to get any help from the NHS is long. Like the hoops that you have to jump through. Mm. And understandably for some people, you know, they need to protect people, but there's not enough resources and not enough staff and trained people out there.
I think it's the weight, isn't it? That's the issue. Not so much the fact that you've got to... I mean, in Wales, it's still, we're still old-fashioned in that you had to have a psych analysis, which they don't do in England anymore.
No.
Is the weight purely a resource thing, or is it let's give them a few years to make sure that they really do want to transition?
I think it's a combination. I think, like, there's not enough trained people, plus they do say before any obviously life-changing surgeries, you're expected to live in your chosen gender role for 1 to 2 years, which is fair enough. I appreciate that.
But by the time you get to see anyone, only be talking medication. You've still got another 2 years then.
Exactly.
On top of that.
By the time I've seen anyone, I would have already been living in this life for 2 years, probably.
More.
I mean, that's, even that in itself is going to take its toll on you, isn't it? Just from a stress point of view.
100%. You know, although we're embracing where we are now and the journey we're on, everything's on hold until the right people are seen and the right people tick the right boxes for us. So that's difficult.
So if someone's listening who doesn't understand being transgender, or perhaps feels uncomfortable listening to you talk about it, or, you know, seeing other people talking about it, what would you say to them?
Oh, God. Research. Literally, there's so much information and so many YouTube videos of people who document their transition at different stages. Some of the hard things they've gone through are out there. There's a lot of negativity, but if you keep digging and have some persistence, you can find some positive things. And look at our journey, you know. Yeah. We are a positive result of...
But we do get negativity and people that tell us horrible things.
Yeah.
Say horrible things to you.
Oh, yeah. I think we'll always face that. And you've got to be prepared. You've got to have a bit of a tough skin and make sure you've got the right support around you, because...
And try and educate. But some people just don't. They'll never want to be
educated.
Some
people don't want to be educated at all, do they? So.
Well, I think you guys... I mean, I was about to say, I think that you're brave. And that sounded really patronising, but I kind of, I guess what I want to try and convey is the fact that you're putting yourselves out there, you've got your blog, you're, you know, giving this really positive message, helping people, and you know that one of the risks involved with that is getting negativity thrown at you. And I just think that's incredible that you're doing that.
I think anyone who's putting themselves, like yourself, anyone in the blogging world and the kind of online world, everyone gets it, don't they?
Yeah.
I think that, like, that's where, although you get the negativity sometimes online, the the positivity is in abundance. And I remember going with you to see the doctor last year or this year or something, I don't know, and I burst into tears because I was just like, you know, you're getting lots of grief and stuff in real life. And I said, I literally said to the doctor, I don't think I'd cope if we didn't have the online community.
Yeah.
Because if you, you know, we don't, we're not overly negative, but if you put something out there like you're having a bad day, the flood of love that you get is just beautiful. So it's worth it to just, it's, and it's worth it to help. We always say, like, just to help one person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if that's all we achieve, that's amazing. Like,
it's worth it. So finally, where can people find you online if they want to hear more from you?
Our website is ourtransitionallife.com.
And Instagram is ourtransitionallife.
Twitter is a bit more complicated. It's @_trans_life. And Facebook is @trans_life.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, massive thank you for joining me today and sharing what is an incredible and emotional story and, you know, sharing your experiences. Thank you so much.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.